Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back. Now, I want you to imagine this. You've scrimped and saved your euros for months. You've booked your dream holiday in a foreign destination or maybe at home. And you're looking forward to a week of rest and relaxation and getting out and about to experience all the local attractions and the dining options that you want. But then you find that your hotel is not suitable or the city or the attractions that you want to visit doesn't cater for your needs. For a lot of people who use wheelchairs, have mobility issues or disabilities, these are very real concerns. My next guest, Vicky Casserly, and her 18-year-old son James know all about these problems firsthand, and they are in front of me here in the studio today. James, you're a wheelchair user yourself, but you are embarking on a different route now in life, hopefully, in the sense that you want to be an expert in accessibility tourism. You want to be a tourist expert in that area.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
So I want to be an expert, and especially in accessibility. So what I want to do is I want to set up my own travel agents, and I say, for example, someone with a wheelchair or someone that was neurodiverse goes, they come to me and say they want to go to Spain for a week. What's the most accessible place? What's the most accessible hotel? What's the most accessible town? What's the most accessible way to get from the airport to the resort to the hotel? Is there many accessible taxis there? Do I need to be on ramp with me? That kind of thing.
And there are issues that you would have dealt with yourself over the years, because I know you guys as a family love to travel.
Yeah.
What's the main thing that bugs you when you're travelling?
Well, the main thing is that people, that the assistants all around the world don't know how to deal with electric wheelchairs, because I travel with my electric wheelchair and I've encountered some situations where they don't know how to deal with an electric chair. They don't know how to get it into the hold, even though they accept the wheelchairs, and even though they deal with, it's their job to deal with them, they don't know how to deal with them. And they ask me about six, seven times the same questions. What weight is it? What is the battery? What type of battery? That kind of thing.
Okay, so basic knowledge. They say, okay, we can handle wheelchairs, we're able to help you and assist you, but yet they don't have the knowledge. They're almost really not trained up, James, are they, in the use of wheelchairs or accessibility?
Yeah.
James is in a wheelchair here, and he's been in a wheelchair all his life.
Yes.
He was born with cerebral palsy. Tell us about your journey.
I guess James was 2 when he was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, but from the time he was 7 months old, I noticed he wasn't reaching physical milestones. And James is always happy for me to share this story as well.
Yes.
So I guess there was a wonderful consultant, actually, Colm Costigan, and he really shaped how I looked at things. And I suppose when he was diagnosed, he said to me that he's still the James that's in front of you, and you know, still the same person. And that totally shifted my mind. And I think for me, personally, kind of through the years, I could never say I had to fight for things. I always would say I'd advocate, and that was for my own headspace. And it was navigating a world that I wouldn't have had to navigate before, where the environment wasn't always there to meet the needs of a wheelchair user. And then particularly when I had Tom and I had a pram and a wheelchair. So
how did you do that?
You become you acquire skills where
ambidextrous and multi-talented.
I'm showing like people can see, but I'd be pushing the wheelchair on one side because James had a manual chair at the time, and I'd have the pram with the other, or I'd use a sling. And you just manage, but it does open your eyes and gives you a new vision as to how you can navigate in the community, even down to accessible bathrooms, like a basic accessible bathroom. If I was out and James needed assistance, we couldn't bring the wheelchair and a pram in, but now the regulations have changed. So you have changing place facilities that, you know, looks more holistically at the lived experience perspective as well. So it's been a journey. It's been a wonderful journey, but it has had its challenges. But I think it's given us the opportunity throughout the years to try and make the changes that hopefully help others as well.
I think the fact that you've journeyed for 18 years now with James, and you've also managed to live a regular, normal life, which is really, really important. Go to the places, because I know, James, you love travel. Now, I know you've visited so many counties in Ireland, nearly all. Is that right, James?
Yeah, four you have to go.
Four to go.
We have Clare, Mayo,
Derry
and Kerry isn't left to do by public transport.
That's I'll show you five for man.
Fermanagh.
So the lakes are lovely there.
And what James wants to do is travel all by public transport to show kind of that you can do it, and if you can't, what we can do to fix that.
Okay. How has it been so far, James, travelling by public transport to our counties?
Well, the trains are okay. The change, what I noticed is, so Euston and, for example, Galway or Cork is fine because that's the mainland station. But if you go out to, for example, if you go out to Westport or Castlebar, just as an example, because it's not a mainland, it's not as busy and there's not as much staff there, it becomes a lot more difficult. And the only way sometimes you can get the ramp is you have to be confident and actually go up to the driver and ask him for the ramp, because there's always a ramp in the wheelchair carriage in one of the presses, and you have to ask the driver, can you radio ahead to the station to wherever you're going, Euston, Dublin, Euston or Galway or Kent, to let them know that you're going to that station and need the ramp there. For example, in Mayoga station, Adamstown, there's only staff there Monday to Friday. So on the weekends, you have to go up to drive, because there's actually no way to book the assistant there. But because Euston say, oh yeah, ring this number. So the only way to actually guarantee yourself that you get on the train with the ramp is if you go up to the driver, so you have to become confident.
James, you know what I find? It's amazing. You're navigating your own way. You almost know now when people are on and off in their jobs. You're nearly doing rosters for the trains and the buses and the whole lot.
But the other thing, the learning, and that is, you know, there is that out there that you used to have to pre-book assistance in the station, which you do, and it has been greatly reduced. But the big thing that we learned is all the train drivers are trained to do the ramps. So, but again, as James says, you have to have the confidence to approach the train driver to say, can you let me on, and make sure they remember to come back to let you off as well.
See, this is a whole, you've got to almost have a mind shift here, don't you?
Yeah.
So let's talk about what you want to do. What James mentioned it there. What do you think is James's mission and your mission as well when it comes to accessibility and travel and tourism around this whole area, specifically designed for people with disabilities?
That universal design approach is applied to everything that we do. So by that, I mean, when we're building, when you're building your level platform trains, there are a number of 950, is it, James, coming over the next 10 years. How we look at building...
So you can go straight in.
Straight in. Mm. Independent, spontaneous travel. That when you're going to tourist destinations, that the information is there in terms of accessibility. That it's not just assumed it's physical, it could be neurodiverse, it could be age, like we've an aging population, and that's actually the largest percentage of disability in our country. Yeah. That it's all pre-planned, pre-thought out and communicated. Sometimes the resources are there, the facilities are there, but it's not communicated. So it's just looking at that and building our environment and our communities around that.
And I know you're a Fine Gael councillor, and you probably never thought about politics, but is this the reason that you want to, because you're the voice, you're actually living through this, that you want to put a spotlight on this whole area from somebody who knows what they're talking about?
I was a very accidental politician, and I was doing a bit of advocacy. Just when I say advocacy, there was a gap in services within my area. I worked with Frances Fitzgerald at the time, and she encouraged me to enter local politics to try and apply what I'm doing in the background with James to our local authority. And that's what I've done for the past 10 years. And I'm hugely passionate about it, because it makes a difference, not only for James, but for us as a family and for us as a unit. And even for his little brother, Tom, who's at home listening. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom. And Tom is what, 9, is he?
Tom is 9. But I was super proud of Tom, because he's 9. He's in Scouts. And he came home one day and he questioned if they were to go on a hike where can we go that's accessible if a wheelchair user joins Scouts? He's 9 and his brain is already thinking bigger. And I just think that's so impactful for Tom, for James, for us as a family and for other generations.
Yeah. We're getting texts in on this, not surprisingly already. Great to hear you talking about this topic, Maura. We have had to cancel a hotel break because the accessible room couldn't accommodate the wheelchair. Very few hotels actually advertise accessible rooms on their websites. Fair dues to James. What a wonderful idea, not only for those in wheelchairs, but anyone with walking issues, as I discovered with my partner when away recently. Every good wish, James, of course, and a book on the matter would be a good idea too, James. Maybe you can mull that over in your mind. Maybe 2 books, one for Ireland and one for abroad. Warmest wishes from a Cavan listener. Interestingly, I'm reading here in the notes that you waited 2 hours in Italy for a taxi that could take you in the wheelchair, James. Is that true on a visit to Milan?
Yeah, so basically we went around Milan and accessibility doesn't really exist over there, unfortunately. So they have no accessible taxis in around Milan, and the keys over there had to pay a favour off a friend, and he wasn't actually a taxi driver, he just had an accessible van that he brought people to a day service. And because they have no accessible taxis over there, I don't mean to be negative, but accessibility doesn't really exist in Italy, so...
It doesn't. What should it cost us?
Well, your experience didn't.
Yeah. Well, what should it cost us? €18 to go down the road to a hotel cost us €150. And, like, that was having to wait around 2 hours, ring the police. They had signs for accessible taxis, but not for a power chair. And, again, like, that's spontaneity and assuming, you know, access is the same country to country.
Yeah, on a Europe-wide level you're talking about.
And
yeah,
it was. And the thing about that trip was James actually saved and surprised us with that trip as a family at Christmas. So he'd put the thought in, he booked the whole thing himself, he had done his research, and then when you're there,
then it falls down at the first hurdle.
So we've no plans to go back to Italy in the future.
But I want to say that my yes from that is, it would have worked a lot better if I pre-planned the transport. So if you have to pre-plan how you're going to get from the airport to the hotel, and how you're going to get from the hotel to the wherever you want to call tourist attractions. So my advice is you have to pre-plan if you're going to certain places, and it'll be all good, but you just have to pre-plan your transport and your hotel. Make sure your hotel's in the centre.
I see where you're coming from, and that's the reality, that you actually have to start from
no
the minute you step off the plane. And this is why accessibility tourism is an area waiting to be captured. Let's
it
be
is.
honest.
And I know in our local authority, like, we've an accessible tourism policy as well that we're trying to push, but it's like everybody needs to start doing that. Everyone needs to be engaged and be involved, and user-led experience as well.
User-led experience, that's so true. I have 3 children, says a texter here. My eldest is 6 and uses a wheelchair. It's wonderful to hear this topic being aired and highlighted. My daughter's disability is due to her environment and society's attitude, not due to her impairments. Universal design would allow all people to access this world. Well done to this lady. It's true. Basically, we're only catering for a certain part of our community and not everyone.
Yeah.
All hotels in Ireland seem to have the same height beds, even in accessible rooms. They're way too high for most wheelchair users. Myself and my daughter with cerebral palsy travel around Ireland and find the same problem everywhere. Why can't hotels get an adjustable height bed for the accessible rooms, says Catherine. And that's so true, because it's almost like a hospital bed with the gas lift that can go up and down. James, do you find, because this girl has cerebral palsy like yourself, do you find that that's an issue with the beds?
I'm lucky enough that I can move quite well.
Yeah.
But I've heard of empty people that can't move as well as me, that it is an issue, because some people unfortunately can't walk at all, or can't move, get down, or can't climb up onto a bed. Now, I'm lucky enough that I can climb up and get down onto a bed, but it is a massive issue for a lot of people. So hotels definitely do need to look at that, and do need to get adjustable beds and for heights and stuff like that.
There is,
and they also need to put hoists in the bathroom for people that need it and stuff like that, because in accessible bathrooms, that I know I don't need a hoist, I'm lucky enough, but for a lot of people, they do need a hoist, so they need to put change faces in accessible hotel rooms in the bathroom.
Yeah,
and again,
bathroom.
Like it's, you could have a portable hoist, but there is actually, if that listener wants to message James, there's a lovely place in Donegal that has the hoist, has the beds, has everything, and there are places out there. But again, it's sometimes what businesses and industries need to see when they're looking at the price of the equipment. They need to look past that, and they need to look at, I suppose, the social piece and the choice to travel. And that aside, that by them investing in that, it allows other people to spend their money in their places.
You know, it's
as
funny.
Well.
It's like everything in the world. When one person begins, everybody takes that lead. So it's whether it's in the industry, the hotel industry or the restaurant industry and all that. And I suppose we have to put a bit of pressure because, you know, to be honest, I know that the Joint Committee on Disability Matters, this is going back to January 2024, wanted to ratify total harmonisation of national legislation with the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, which states that you are required to have certain levels for people with disabilities so they can actually move around in normal society without feeling that they're at the periphery of this, like so many of our texters are saying today, that they're isolated from certain regular everyday events because we are not catering for them.
Exactly. So I suppose, and that's where the Taoiseach has a huge interest in the area of disability and advocacy as well. And he has set up a Committee on Disability Rights, and it is his goal in terms of the optional protocol for the UNCRPD to have actions there. And Disability Federation of Ireland are doing a huge piece on that as well, which I would be pushing for as a parent, never mind as a public
and
rep.
As a councillor now as well.
Oh yeah.
James, I want to give a shout out because I know I spent a bit of time in Cork and you spent a bit of time in Cork as well.
Yeah.
Who do you want to shout out to there?
Special shout out to Aaron and my little brother Tom.
And the girl. Who's the girl? What's her name?
Aaron.
Aaron. Lovely name, Aaron. Yeah. So listen, when do we think that you're going to set this up? Because maybe we can call upon travel agents out there who might want to chat to you.
So,
this could be a beginning.
So my plan is I'm doing travel industries and airline studies in Cobble Street in September. So I'm doing that for 2 years. And then in the meantime, I'm going to try to travel to a lot of places and do my research, because every country is different, every place is different, and I need to do the groundwork and do the research, and then hopefully in 3 or 4 years I can open up my own travel agent and open up my own website. But first I need to do the groundwork, so I need to go to these places and see what they're like for accessibility, so I can and take notes and take videos. And then,
but you know what you should do as well, James? I think you should become a consultant to some travel agents here, because all these people are booking holidays, you know, and group holidays and all that. So you could tell them, you could help them along. James, thanks so much
for coming in.
Seriously, it's been absolutely brilliant to have you both on the show. Fantastic interview with James and his mom. Top marks for raising awareness, says another texter. We really do need to put a spotlight on these. And it's only when you journey with somebody. Yeah. And I feel I've been journeying a bit with you today now. Yeah. You know, that you know, even basic stuff to not need a ramp to get on the train. Basic stuff is all we need to change to make this world more accessible for all of us. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
We'll take a little break, back in a minute.
Email oliver@rte.ie.